You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. I'm here with Daniel M.
Hello, hello.
And I'm, of course, Todd Atkins.
There you go. How'd that feel?
It felt decent. Yeah. Felt decent. I understand that Ed has done this before and didn't do as good of a job as I just did. So if you agree with me, just reply to a tweet, hashtag better than Ed.
Yeah, and if you think Todd should take the intro over, let us know.
That was my first one.
It's
training
true.
Wheels.
Yeah,
on.
You're right. I have done 256.
I did. I was self-conscious about halfway through. I think I did really good until I said y'all, and then I was like, I just did a resources kind of a thing right there because I said y'all.
What? Yes, you sure did. I just had to throw that in for you.
All right. Well, let's get to our first question or our only question
from our friend.
Hey, Todd, Daniel, and Ed, this is Chris in Denver, planning a church this year here in Denver, Colorado. Very excited. Missional, attractional model. Really looking at our leadership pipeline and our discipleship pathway from reading great books like No Silver Bullets. Ding! Wanted to just talk practically in the very beginning as you're planning out what you want your process to look like. What is the best practices and ways to get people going in a direction as opposed to just a destination in the very beginning stages of a church plan?
And I'm so glad, Chris, that you are reading great resources like No Silver Bullets. Because that's where I would have encouraged you to begin if you had not already.
No, well, you can already tell that it has influenced him because he talked about the shift.
Yes. And he talked about using the language, discipleship pathway and leadership pipeline.
That's true.
Right.
But he's talking about your book does do a great job of talking about shifting our thinking. So, you know, thinking, shifting from destination to a direction, and thinking of it in that way. So I do, really appreciate that framework that you put together there, but let's answer his question.
Yeah. So what I'd encourage you to do is, and you can actually, if you go to danielm.com/no silver bullets, you can actually read the first chapter, the introduction and the first chapter for free. And the reason I share that is because in that first chapter, I do have a self audit and a church audit that you can get for free there. And that's actually what I would encourage you to do first. If you're trying to figure out how to move your culture from a, you know, where everything's about getting to a destination, when discipleship and leadership development is actually more directional. It doesn't just start and end, but it's continual on this side of eternity where we're continuing to learn, continuing to develop our skills as leaders and as disciples of Jesus Christ. You need to know where your starting point is. Right. So in that first chapter, I talk about a self-assessment where you're really assessing, hey, who do you look up to as a pastor and a church leader? How have others shaped you? What type of leader are you? How do you view this sense of accountability where if you know, are you keeping other people accountable? Or if you say you're going to do something, do you actually do it? So in that audit, you walk through, and in that assessment, you walk through those four questions. And then we actually flip that around and you take an assessment of your church. And this is something that maybe a lot of people do the first half, but they don't do this. And here's the first question of that church assessment. Who are the celebrated pastors and leaders in your church and region? Now, the reason that's such an important question is because every person in your church, whether you're a plant or not, they have an image of what a pastor should be. Mm-hmm. And they are trying to shape you into their image, right? Yes. Into the image, not of themselves, but of that pastor, that nostalgic
poster child pastor.
That you'll never, ever live up to them because it's nostalgia, but they're still comparing you to them. So you need to know who those people are. You need to know what kind of leaders you have in your church, what happens when the church is challenged or asked to do something, and what gets celebrated in your church. And it's only when you take the time with your leadership team to walk through those two assessments, that you can begin the journey of moving from a destination mindset to a directional one.
I think one of the important things to point out, Daniel, is when we're thinking about direction versus destination, I think people could get confused really quickly when we're talking about shifting toward a direction that, oh, it's suddenly all organic. No, you know, we just kind of point where we're going, and everybody's going to get there on their own time in their own way. Versus, I think what you would say from a direction standpoint is, no, there's still systems and processes and things that are intentional about holding that direction. Because it's one thing to point out a direction, but if you only give that initial direction, people are going to end up all over the place. How do you hold and maintain and make sure that everybody's moving in the same direction and kind of knows what their next step is?
Exactly. And that's the difference between a hippie church and an intentional church in my influences matrix in the book. Because, yeah, there's definitely is that initial, oh, but directional, then you can't really measure progress. You can't really measure what's going on. And that's why it's so important to address this sense of accountability, the sense of cultural accountability. So Chris, I really appreciate how you're looking at your discipleship pathway and your leadership pipeline, because yes, you want to move towards a direction, but you want to have those systems and processes in place. You want to have that cultural sense of a high cultural sense of accountability. So when you think about plotting out your discipleship pathway and your leadership pipeline, the first thing that I would really just want to share with you, and actually we'll do a video to the 90SL video, the 90 second leadership video that I did on this, that we put this out on Lifeway Leadership on our YouTube channel and our Ministry Grid one, because there's just a lot of concepts. I love the one that you did with the Hungry Hungry Hippos. And
I don't like that one at all. I tried to kill that one. I thought I did kill it. And then I saw it this week. And yeah. I was like, come on, guys.
So that one.
It's good content, I look all over. I'm looking here and there and everywhere while I'm searching for my words.
So if you go to our show notes, you'll be able to see that one and a
you
ton
make
of the
fun
other
of me
ones
in the comments
that we have. But there is the one that I have there where I draw a double helix. And the reason I draw that, and just for everyone who's not familiar with the book or the concept, think about the vision, right? So the vision of your church is at the top. How do you get to the vision of your church? Well, you need to have strategy, right? Strategy is the what that you're doing to get to that vision, that where that God is calling you to. Now, everything that a church does strategy-wise is a mix of discipleship pathway and leadership pipeline. You're either maturing people towards Christ, or you're, you know, equipping them in their competencies as a leader. They're very similar. They're very, very similar, but they're not the same thing. So that's why I draw them as a double helix, because one does flow into the other, but they're not specifically the same thing. So that's kind of the why behind Chris's question, in just really pointing out what a discipleship pathway is, what a leadership pipeline is, and just how to develop that at the beginning. What are some of your thoughts for a brand new church plant or a brand new campus, Todd, just some initial steps to get going on those two?
My first thoughts are this. I wish people could be in the studio with you and just watch you, how passionate you get about this subject, because you were basically a flamingo dancer there explaining the double helix. And you were waving your hands in and out,
one,
going
two,
up.
Three, four.
he didn't stand up out of his chair, but I want you to know, if you could have seen that double helix. I wept. It was better than cats. Okay. So
I wish you would have, labeled a better Broadway picture than Cats, but that's okay.
I thought that was like a common saying.
Yes.
Like, it's better than Cats.
All right. So first steps, Todd. First steps.
I would say first steps are really a great place to start would be, like Daniel was talking, with an audit, is to really understand the matzo ball that you already have. Now, and that one was for our established churches that are listening. For you as a church planter, wow, man, you're in a great place, because you can start this from scratch and you can make sure that everything is as clean and clear and simple as possible from the get-go. And I would say it takes a lot more than you think to do that, first of all, and it will take a lot more than you think beyond the first 90 days to keep it clean and keep it simple. So I would say really take a step back and decide, you know, what are some of the things that you're going to measure before you are even in the up and going.
Yeah, that's good.
And that walks all the way back to how you're preparing your campus to launch. I'm sorry, your church to launch. And I actually did part of a church planting course or church multi-site course mm-hmm. where I'm talking about, hey, here's the first 90 days out. Here's some of the things that you want in place. And then for the first 90 days, here's what you're doing. So if you have access to that, go back and take a look at that. Because whether you're a church planter or a multi-site guy, I think it's going to be really valuable for you. What you're doing is really taking stock and laying the track. And then when you're moving in and you're up and going, you're making sure that you are right in your assumptions, that this is the demographic that's coming, that these are the things that are important to these people, that you have enough groups for these people to get engaged with, and that you're not doing so many ancillary things trying to reach all people that you're missing some of the key things. So you have a tendency, especially if you experience a lot of growth, some people are going to come along and they're going to want to help you out by starting this ministry, that ministry, and the other ministry. And if you don't have your strategy, your vision, your values, and your strategy, and your structure, and your systems all in place, it will be very easy to become distracted. It will be very easy to clog up your pipeline, to clog up the way the church is even, it can inhibit growth. Because anything you do that's outside of those things takes time, effort, energy, and most of all, attention away from the things that you want the people focused on to get them in their next step of discipleship or their next step in development.
That sounds like a really good book, Todd.
Yeah, I'm not done with it yet.
But you are writing it.
Yeah, we'll get there.
A little sneak peek.
But then, you know what? Then I'll be like, my book. And ding. Then people go, ding.
All right. So just as we wrap up, let's share two constructs or two helpful tools for our listeners. And Todd, maybe you can just share the whole concept of the six competencies and what we have on Ministry Grid. And then I'll talk about the from a leadership pipeline perspective. And then I'll talk about the idea of ongoing first and next steps as you develop your discipleship pathway.
One of the things that I'm most proud of in the leadership space, in Lifeway Leadership, is what we did a couple of years ago. And it did take us about 18 months to pull this off. Daniel was a part of this, and so was a lot of people that you might recognize, Brad Lominick, who started Catalyst, but a lot of church practitioners.
Yeah,
they participated in this little survey. What I did was I said, hey, you have a volunteer, you have a leader in a church, you have a coach, you have a ministry director, and you have a senior leader in a church. For each one of those things, what do you think makes that person competent in their role? So it was like 16, 17 people that participated in this. Those guys all weighed in on each level. So, you know, you had Will Mancini say, hey, this is what I think a person should be able to do at this level. You had a number of different people. I kind of mentioned those already. But what we ended up doing was pooling all those together and creating a big part of the competencies for leadership pipeline. So we had set every church needs a pipeline, every person needs a pathway, every church needs core competencies at the volunteer level, leader level, and so on and so forth. And you can find those on ministrygood.com. We actually, probably by the time this airs, will have out the Intro to Leadership Pipeline course that you can find there for free.
Yeah, we'll link that in the show notes. That'll be great.
And it will
on the brand new Ministry Grid.
Yes.
Like ground up.
Butter.
Oh, it's, yeah. I don't know if I can share enough words that can exude how amazing it is.
But it is. Praise God. But yeah, I would say that's a great place to start. And really, if you want to dive into what pipeline is and get a good overview, also get a good overview of what competency means and what we're talking about when we say competency, that's a great place as well.
Yeah. So those competencies are discipleship, vision, strategy, collaboration, people, and stewardship. And what we would recommend for you, Chris, is to take that framework as is. Don't worry about contextualizing it yet. You can do that further down the road. But really, just as you're starting out, just take it as is and begin developing these competencies in every single one of your leaders and every single one of your volunteers. And then just get going. Now, we're not saying that you got to stick with our six competencies forever, but as a new church plant or for a new campus, it is a great place to begin. So that's what we would encourage you to do at the beginning to begin establishing your leadership pipeline.
The second tool I would say really quickly is some of the templates that we've developed for job descriptions, specifically role descriptions. In some states, you can't call them job descriptions, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you call a volunteer role a job description in some states that are particularly litigious, you can face legal ramifications.
Because you're not paying them.
Yes. Not necessarily from the congregation, but a person from the state who doesn't like the church.
Well,
it happens, believe me. So with all that said, role profiles that are there to say, hey, you know, one of the ways that we can make this really clean for our volunteers that are serving in our church plant in two or three positions is making sure we're running off the same template.
Yeah.
Because when you do that, you can tighten up your language and words build worlds, as we know. Mm-hmm. You can tighten up your structure and people will understand what a win looks like in multiple areas and they'll understand what expectations you have of them. So, yeah, so those are the two big tools I would say.
And you can grab those role descriptions if you're on Ministry Grid or if you're a Plus member with us at newchurches.com, just go to Ready to Use Resources and you can grab all those templates. We added a couple more just in light of church planting and multi-site and all that, so you can grab that there. Now, I know we're running to the end of our time, but I just wanted to quickly share some initial steps as it relates to your discipleship pathway and really think about your discipleship process and your pathway in three buckets: ongoing steps, first steps, and next steps. Your ongoing steps are those things that you are cultivating, that you are helping everyone grow in so that they are self-feeders. And there's a lot of research that I provide in No Silver Bullets around what it takes to be a self-feeder. What are the things that cause individuals, you know, the small things that they can do that are going to yield the greatest results spiritually for them. So you could take a look at, that's chapter 2 in the book there. But those are those ongoing steps that you really want to make central for everyone in your church. You also want to have first steps. So really be clear, if for brand new people and brand new Christians, what are the steps that they need to take to grow as a disciple or grow spiritually? And then you're also going to have next steps, which are those events or those seminars that really are for everyone that are going to just kind of boost. Maybe it's a conference or some sort of special a worship night that really will kind of catapult people forward spiritually. Now, the really important thing about distinguishing them from first, next, and ongoing is there are a lot of people, if they're not distinguished, they will just see their spiritual formation as going from first to next, and that's it. And it really becomes about consuming the church's programs. And that's why the ongoing steps are so important, because that is where that's how you move the culture and shift it from being destination focused to directional. Now, I could probably go on forever about that, but you can check out No Silver Bullets for that. And thanks again for listening into our podcast, and we will catch you next time.